As you're opening your Bibles back to Revelation chapter 16, we've come tonight to the Battle of Armageddon. And I'll tell you, this world is ripe for it, isn't it? You think of the infighting that's going on right now. You think of the war and rumor of war. You think of all the unrest. But I know sometimes we think of those things and we think of our own nation in a lot of ways, but let me tell you something. Nothing can be compared to the Middle East. It doesn't hold a candle to that area. God put it there. And God put it all toward a people. Matter of fact, his earthly people. And it's amazing, such a small group of people. But yet on the tongues, the minds, and on the hearts, one way or another. Because it's getting to be to a point, neutral, you cannot be. Because that's God's choice. And it's wonderful. The evidence, the reality. How beautiful is our God that he's God. And he's created these things and he puts up what he will, and he puts down what he will. And tonight, you know, we left off, I should say last week, with those three unclean spirits. If you recall, they're like frogs. And the reason the three of them, I really believe, is because of that false trinity. The great counterfeit is going to be such a counterfeit that it's going to be a trinity that will be in complete contrast, but trying to be this perfect counterfeit, believe it or not, of the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. So these three unclean spirits, these frogs, are put into these ones. And they're put in such power. And again, this is God allowed, because there isn't any power but of God. There will be no movement until God says it's so. And at this time, God will allow this to happen. They will draw all nations, those three, into a great and final battle. And in the Lord's eyes, it's going to be the slaughter field. And it's going to be magnificent. And it's going to be the one and conclusive war that we will have at the very end of this tribulation time. Now, Armageddon means Megiddo. It's a valley. But that word truly means a gathering of troops for invasion. Amen. They're gathering to invade. And they're gathering to destroy Israel. You think about throughout history. Israel's been blamed for everything. Every problem there is to the face of the earth, it's been the Jew. It's coming round again. You'd think that man somehow would get over it. But they won't, because they're God's earthly people. They're a representation, again, of our God. And in that, as I was dealing with a Jewish man yesterday, and very devout in his belief of Judaism, an Orthodox Jew, and I was thankful that the Lord gave great opportunity. I appreciated him saying, you know, it's amazing how the Christians that I meet. And I was thinking the Christians that he meets and the ones that I know he was speaking of, thank the Lord, are from this meeting, that they know the Word of God. And he said, and it's so beautiful to hear those things that you say. He asked me, well, where is that zeal according to knowledge? I said, well, that's in Romans. And then different things like, he says, that's great. I said, you know, Romans would be a really good place for you to start to maybe to see some of these things I'm talking to you about. But, you know, as I was also able to tell him and express very sincerely to him, God has placed in our hearts, not just told us to, but truly a Christian that will yield to God. I love you and I love your people because I know you're God's earthly people. And I know he received that. And I know he received that genuinely from the Lord because that was the word of the Lord. And I know, again, that is his earthly people. Now, I would love to see this man come to an acknowledgement of the truth. Absolutely. But I was thinking as I was sitting there too, would he be one that we would be studying of today that would come to that knowledge later on? And I know that's on the hope of many here as well, too, that have ministered to many Jews over their lives that seem to be a little bit reluctant of the Messiah. You know, this particular man was looking for the Messiah. And I said, yes, to come again. But they're looking for him to come. And I said, oh, no, you mean come again. So we're just thankful, and I'm grateful to God. But see, this hatred that is just incensed towards the Jew, we've seen it time and time again throughout history. There's never been a people that have been tried as many times to be completely obliterated from the face of the earth as the Jew. You know, there's been people that have been hated and went after and different things of that nature. But the Jew is a group of people that has been tried to be exterminated from the face of the earth. Why? Is it just coincidental? I know you've heard me say that many times about my Jewish business mentor, my second dad, Art Schimmel, loved him so much. But he'd always sit there on his couch as he smoked his big cigar, and he'd say, you know, until they can explain that conflict over there between the Jew and the Arab any other way, I'll believe in God. And I always thought that was sweet. He said, because there was no other explanation for it. Because man couldn't be that stupid to keep fighting each other over a piece of, you know, basically barren land that was in just that one spot. He said, you know, you could give us Hawaii, you could give us the most fertile ground in California and all of that, and we still would never trade it for that barren desert over there, which God gave to us through Abraham. And I love it. And it's true. Amen? And aren't you thankful that, you know, the word of God is true? And again, in his earthly people, there's a remnant. And God, let me tell you something, he remembers them. Because Israel, the unfaithful wife, to the father, will someday be faithful again. And what a time that will be. Praise his name. But we're gathering down at this time the Antichrist, the false prophet, all inspired by the devil, bringing this group of nations down to be destroyed. And as we read, blood flowing to the horse's bridle, 5 feet high, 200 miles long through that valley. So, without any further delay, let's go ahead and read verses 16 through 20 of the 16th chapter. And it says, and he gathered them together into a place in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake, and so great, and the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came into remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. My. And every island fled away. And the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Well, we're coming to this time. And it's accelerating to this time. But once again, what's so beautiful here as we get into this 17th verse, notice it's the bride once again. The seventh angel, one of the seven, that wonderful company that will come forth and pour forth these judgments throughout the tribulation. And a great voice, it says, the King of Kings voice, matter of fact, it is, says, it is done. Now, don't you love the finished words of our Lord? And those wonderful words of the Lord, when he says it's done, it's done. I was thinking about, again, how he can speak that, whether, as he said upon that cross, it is finished. It's done. Hallelujah. There is no more. Now, at this time, he says again, it is done. And then I was thinking about how the word of the Lord says through an overcomer, just as the same with Paul, I have finished my course. It is done. Hallelujah. But see, only the word of the Lord can say that. See, that's not me that would say that. That would only be the faithfulness of God and the grace of God and the word of his grace that would speak that truth through my life. And I believe him for it. As Brother Paul said, not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing, I believe by the grace of God. And I'm believing in the grace of God. And I'm believing in the mighty power of the grace of God. In all of its keeping, in all of its ability, which is exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. That praise be to God, my life will finish one way. Amen. I have finished my course. Hallelujah. I believe we're all there. Amen? Amen. Amen. Believing in the grace of God. Now, I love this as well too. The voices and the thunderings. Now, how many times have we studied that over this course of our sweet Revelation study? Whether it was Ezekiel, whether we've already seen it here in Revelation many times, we know that's the cherubim. That calling back and forth. Let me tell you something. When you're excited, and I was looking over here at Derek, you know, when he's excited at a football game, especially when his son's playing, you know, he's got a megaphone. He's out there. My goodness, he doesn't care what anybody thinks, and that's a good thing, especially when you're worshiping God. Ask David. It's a good thing. Praise God. It's the only way to worship God when you don't care about anybody else but God. Amen. Isn't that drawing nigh unto him in fervent love to kiss? That's what worship is. We've got to get that, because then you begin to understand there's only two in the room. It's just me and Jesus. There might be more. Isn't that amazing? And here we all are tonight, and you just think there's just two in the room. Hallelujah. But that's the way it is, so intimately with God and with our Lord. And this is how he draws us in. But these are those thunderings back and forth, the excitement, the praise. And let me tell you something. It will be an exciting time. Aren't you excited to be there right now? Praise God. If not, we're not really seeing it. Because this is just like the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon in that seventh chapter. As she says, let us get down to that garden. Let us go down and see if it's ready. That grapes, if that's ready for that wine press, praise the Lord. This is the time that she's looking for. Because you know one thing? When you're really in love, you want that spouse to be magnified. You want good for your spouse, do you not? And especially in this, the rejoicing that we have. Oh, my King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. That judgment, not in a sense, yes, it is the very wrath of God. And matter of fact, this is not just the wrath of God in all his fierceness. This is all powerful. This is nothing withheld. This is full force. Because this is the wrap-up, praise God. And we're thankful, at least in this tribulation time. We'll go through something again, which will be such glory again to our Lord towards the end of the millennium. Why that is? I know that that's the word of God. I may not be able to understand it completely, but I sure believe it. And I believe, hallelujah, that it will happen just as the word of our Lord says it will be. Matter of fact, everything that he said is exactly as the word of the Lord said it would be. So why not continue to believe Jesus and just rest with faith like a child? Praise God. But this bridal company, these four living ones, these cherubim ones, this is the triumph of glory. Hallelujah. Calling back and forth, and a great earthquake was released, we have here. Now, there's been many earthquakes throughout the Word of God. Whether it was, you think about the earthquake at the crucifixion. What about the earthquake in Revelation 6? But this great earthquake, it changes the world. It changes the world. It divides Babylon into three parts. Now, we know this isn't Jerusalem. So, by the grace of God, let's not get this mixed up. Jerusalem, it says a tenth part of the city. This is the great city, and obviously even in this verse it says that great city, Babylon. That great is something that's used many times about this Babylon. You also have the great harlot, the great whore. This is all part of that Babylon, that mysticism, that satanic rule that will be going on at this time. Now, in that, we know that this Babylon, this great whore that has this false, counterfeit trinity, there's your three parts that are divided. I believe that they've been in unity so much. And see, there's going to be such division that even at this time and around this time, remember, the Antichrist and the great whore, they've been in lockstep. But the Antichrist is going to turn and destroy her. Let me tell you something. The devil can do one thing, And that's steal, kill, and destroy. You know, you think you're getting along with the devil as a sinner and all that kind of stuff. And maybe, let me tell you something. He's already got you and he's going to destroy you. And I tell you, he will rob a Christian, won't he? And he will. And he'll destroy lives and different things of that nature. There's nothing else that he would ever want to do. And there's nothing else he can do but to kill and to steal and to destroy a life. So we need to recognize this. But see, if you turn over to Jeremiah, and we were here last week, and I love this part of Jeremiah, and this is something that I pray that we'll really have marked in our words, is Jeremiah 25 and verses 15 through 17. It says, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine, cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them." See, remember how we started reading last week as they were, the judgment came and it says, and they blasphemed God and they repented not. And they blasphemed God and they repented not. They're mad. This is what it is. And why are they mad? They're mad at the word of God. And I'm telling you, that's why they're mad right now. They're mad at the word of God. And let me tell you something. He'll show you off. And he'll show you off when you don't want to be shown off. And that's when you'll suffer together for Christ's sake. Is when he lifts that hedge. And those ones that are incensed with hatred of the word of God will hate you. They hated me, as the word of God said, without cause. They'll hate you. They'll hate you. Because again, even for your life, if you'll stand in the word of God, that doesn't mean to be obnoxious. Obnoxious is not standing. But when you just stand, seeking peace with all men as much as lies within you, all of the wonderful work of the word of God, neutral they still cannot be. But the Lord in his great grace can even have your enemies too be at peace with you. But ask David, he can turn on the flames real quick too. So whatever God's going to do, by the grace of God, thy will be done. Amen. Let's believe the Lord for our lives and these attacks and different things, knowing that God is in control. And it says, "And they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup at the Lord's hand and made all nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me." Do you see this? Do you see this again? Such beautiful prophecy. And I love this about Jeremiah, because he's being encouraged of what he's seen for himself in this place that God has him. But again, they wrote these things for us. Amen. He wrote this for me. And then in the encouragement of Jeremiah writing this, I love this encouragement to my heart. He's telling me by the power of the Holy Ghost, Jesse, step into this place. Don't just see this from afar off. Believe this for you, just as I'm writing this and seeing this word of God that is true, it's real, that he said, "I took this cup. I took it from him. By the grace of God, I believe that for my life." Hallelujah. This is getting ready. Remember, we've talked about it, just like when you're really into somewhere you're going naturally, like you're going to take a vacation. Don't you study about it? Don't you want to know what you're going to see, especially when you're going to a spectacular place where you're going to see all of these historic things or great buildings or fabulous sights? I mean, I've gone with people that didn't study, and then they're just asking me all the time, "Well, what's going on? What's going on?" That really don't know. Like John. Now, I'm not getting on John, but take that as a type. Because John, again, the revelation that was given to him was to write these things for us. Again, the prophet. Because John, again, his place in heaven is going to be over one of the 12 thrones over the 12 tribes. So praise the Lord again for me. But by the grace of God, and I thank the Lord how we've been encouraged in this over the years, what you take here, will you reign here? Is the reigning that will happen over there. Amen. Calling those things which be not as though they were, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. How deep was that said? Was it just for that healing? for that moment, for that life? No. That was the encouragement for our entire life, and especially in Paul's gospel. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. How could I be in the bride of Christ if I don't believe it? How could I be in that place and ruling and reigning in the midst of the throne glory with him if I don't believe it? Amen? It's the truth. That's why people don't go on with the Lord. They don't believe the word of God. And you have to hear the word of God. You need to be taught the word of God. And sometimes I just hear, well, you know, it'll just happen and people get this and all. Let me tell you something. You have to be preached the word of God. You have to be taught the word of God. And line upon line and precept upon precept. And by the grace of God, and if you're to grow up into him in all things, it must be and only will be Paul's gospel. It will happen no other way. And you need to hear Paul's gospel. But see, the Lord is so faithful that he that wills to know will know of that gospel. Don't you believe that God in his foreknowledge drew us to a place by the grace of God which would preach the whole counsel of God? Is it just because you were born in a certain location you couldn't receive this? Sure, the Lord could have you receive that. But don't you think in his foreknowledge and in his great grace, he said, well, you know what, I'm going to get old Webb down to Denver and Robert and Gwen and all and Jesse and all these. I just got a great, incredible miracle plan for every single one of them. We all got a Red Sea. We walked across. Matter of fact, with Paul's gospel, you flew across on dry ground. You know what I'm saying. Come on. Aren't we supposed to be the cherubim once? Got wings, baby. Let's use them. Amen. And that's it. And we soar and thank him for these things. It's a rough fight. Let me tell you, that cherubim is one thing. It's one piece of beaten gold. You wonder why you get beaten all the time? Because it's beautiful. It's the only way you're going to be molded into the mercy seat and in that cherubim. Amen. Mercy seat's there. It's beaten. But that cherubim that comes out of there, that's one piece. All of mercy. Isn't that amazing? We're a work of mercy. Not of works, of mercy. I love the grace. I mean, grace is incredible because it gives us the mercy. But I love the thought of mercy. What we deserved. And yet we're one big, wonderful work. And the beauty, the pinnacle of it all, that blood upon that mercy seat. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. And thank him that you know it. Hallelujah. And believe it. But this is tremendous here, brothers and sisters, how God shows us this. So we have this incredible earthquake. We see this incredible destruction that happens here in verse 20. And now, I want us to understand this. In Revelation 21, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. This is just a rearrangement of a lot of things right here, because this is going to be such a mighty earthquake. And this is going to be a time of incredible force. It's going to be very fierce because it's the fierceness of his wrath. And it's not only limited to earthquakes. We go on, and as we read here, there's hailstones that pour forth. 75 pounds each. That's what a talent weighs. 75 pounds. I'll tell you what, when I was over working out one time, I always remember back, I think it was 83, 84, they had those, and it was not too far from the brewery over there in that valley in Golden. And they had hailstones the size of softballs. And those things were coming down and hitting tops of cars. It wasn't breaking windows. It was collapsing the actual canopy of the metal of the car. It was denting it all the way down. Now, I don't know how much that weighed, but I don't even think it weighed a pound probably. What is Scott? Probably maybe a quarter of a pound or something doing that kind of power. And I'm telling you, it really messed some people up that were dumb enough not to get out of that thing. Hey, let's see what's out there. No, these are 75 pound each. You wonder how. Let me tell you something. God just have a hailstorm go through that valley and it's over. That'd be ripping up tanks. It'd be ripping up a lot of different things. But God's going to use things. Think about what he did at Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, he said, you know, he had that hail, that brimstone and fire rained down on that thing. And even today, that allegedly was a very fertile place and all of those different things like that. There ain't nothing that grows there. That's just a sulfur pit. Yeah. God took care of it. We need to pay attention to these things because his word is true. And that's why I appreciate the hearts that are in this place. You do not want to see any of your loved ones going into the tribulation. You don't. Let me tell you something. Just stepping into that is not a good thing. It's not. It's going to be a horrible time, a painful time. And the painful thing, especially to a Christian, is becoming the reality that you miss the best. But God in His faithfulness will always, in His word, minister to you. And as we're rejoicing, all of those companies are always ready and looking. Isn't that wonderful? Because there's going to be that ministering that comes forth. That's the beauty of our Lord. He always gives us hope. Jesus always gives His people hope. And they're going to have that hope. Praise God. The innumerable multitude's going to have the hope. The 144,000's going to have the hope. Praise God. They're all going to have that hope. And even as we read about Thyatira, those earth dwellers that'll go through, they'll be believing in God. And even those that are killed, murdered during that time, it says, and they gave glory to God. Amen. You think about that. How much should we be glorying in God? Amen. With what we have, with what we know, that the beauty and the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it says that He is holding back those things until he that hinders is taken out of the way. This thing ain't even coming forth. How beautiful. And to know that now, praise God. Praise God. So, we're thankful to Jesus. Now, chapter 17 and 18. And we'll touch into this 17 just a little bit tonight. But this is the judgment specifically, two chapters worth on Babylon. I'll tell you what, you talk about the fierceness of His wrath. He's not messing around. Payday someday, this is a payday. Now, the reason for this judgment that's so great is because this is the great mother of harlots. This is that false church. This gives us reference, if you'll go over back to, as we begin this, going back to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 21 about Thyatira. Now, we're so thankful that the ones that come out of Thyatira are coming out of this system at this time, in the very last days even of the tribulation. These are the ones that are not receiving that mark. When that thing really turns and becomes the whole mysticism of it all, the whole evil of it all, there are going to be ones that come out of that Thyatira. They're going to refuse that mark. And they're going to be killed for it. They're going to be pursued. And praise be to God. That is going to be God's sweet remnant that goes through. We're so thankful to this. We've been studying and rejoicing in it. But as we read from verse 21, here's what it says to that church at Thyatira. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. See, get this. See, this is that Babylon. This is that harlot. Gave the place to repent, but she ain't repentant. And so she's going into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am He which searches the reins and hearts. See, because all those churches are going to know is because she, that harlot, is fornicated with all of them. See? It's all there. All of this wickedness has been infected in a virus. And I appreciate the way this Lord, the Lord does this and gives this. This is as filthy as it gets. They're in this bed with her. And it's a fornication. It's wickedness. And He says, and they shall know that I am He which searches the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. That works upon works upon works. And you think of the great religions of the world. It's all upon works. The filthy rags to the Lord. The greatest wickedness. That's self-righteousness. God help us to just completely fight that fight. That pride, brothers and sisters, that haughtiness, that as the Lord graces us with knowledge, that we would never be puffed up, that we would love one another, spiritual ones restore. We want to be that company, praise God, that's there with the Father, waiting for any and every prodigal to come home. Because first of all, we know we've all been there. Second of all, praise be to God, but for the grace of God, I'd still be there. So that's the beauty, that's the harmony, that's the love, hallelujah. And that's the expectation, that's why we continue to pray. And it does get frustrating, it does get disheartening. And I'll tell you what, it's getting very serious because the Lord's coming. And that time shall be no more. Praise God. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak. Isn't that amazing how you can be in those churches? Think of this. Do you know how people can be in that stuff? They don't even know what they believe. And yet they're caught up into it. And they call themselves that, but they don't know what they believe. How many times I've ministered to them? I don't need to tell you all of the religions, because it's pretty much line them up here, because it's exactly the same. Well, I'm a this, I'm a that. Well, do you really know what they believe? No, they don't believe that. Why don't you read their doctrine? Why don't you read where that came from? Do you think God would be changing his word? Do you think God would be changing what he's laid down? Let me tell you something. God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his word is the same. That'd be one of the greatest indications. I think I'm in the wrong place. Because, you know, if God's somebody that has to go back and change and rework and it wasn't right, that sounds like my life. And I sure don't want to follow me. But I sure want to follow God. Amen? Isn't it amazing how clear to the light it is, but how blinded very intelligent people can be? Some of these ologist church, how's that? I'd never like to give them any recognition. But that's just insane. It's crazy. But when you know that he's God and you don't give him glory as God, and neither are you thankful, start walking right down Romans 1. And at the very end, it says, and they have a reprobate mind. A mind that does not make sense, and a mind that cannot make the right decision. It makes the wrong one. You think about that. Where are we as in a world? I mean, because we sit there and we go, how could we be doing that? That doesn't make sense. But then again, let's get our eyes off the world and say, see it in the word of God. Oh, yes. Mankind is pretty much at the end of Romans 1. Praise the Lord. And let's all be reminded when we see these things come to pass, look up. Amen. Amen. Then we don't get in these texting wars, which are kind of comical, but never mind. Okay. I've been accidentally included in some of these group text during the election and everything. Oh my goodness, those were priceless. Christians, oh my brothers and sisters, please don't go into that. Stay away, run away, run away, run away, amen. Oh, but let's read the rest of that. That's such precious encouragement there. And it says in verse 25, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And then in verse 26 of chapter 2 of Revelation, and he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. So again, those are the ones that come out of Thyatira, that come out of that at the end. And see, keeping it to the end, that's not talking about us. We know who keeps the faith in it for us. It's the precious Lord. He's our keeper and all of that. It's not we're holding on. He holds me. I'm just laying hold, praise God, of the one that holds me. And in this is just speaking, this is literal of those that will live through that tribulation time. They'll live into the millennium, praise God. And what does it say that will happen to them? They'll be reigning over what? The nations. And that's what's so beautiful, because that's going to be their reigning. They're going to reign over the nations. That's what Israel's going to have. They're going to reign over it all. And they're going to be the evangelists, praise be to God, for Jesus, their Messiah. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. And that's, I was just encouraged again as I talked to that man. So these are beautiful things. Now, got to kind of move here a little bit, but let's go ahead and read 17:1, and we'll just kind of get a little bit wetting of our appetite as we get into this. And it says 17:1, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and he talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I'll show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, this is so wonderful here. We see this great whore again, sitting on many waters, the water speaking of the nations. She basically, this religious system at this time, it reigns the nations. And we've seen this in type many times throughout our history of our world, that Whether it was, let's just say, the big nations religions of the world. We've seen Islam try to do this. We've seen Catholicism try to do this. In the name of God, trying to rule the nations. As our precious Lord and say, I just came to save that which was lost. Isn't that wonderful? The nations, you can have the nations. I want them souls. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? See, and that's what we need again to be about. Let's just get focused on what God has here. It's so simple, so beautiful, because this is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And when he lives in us, praise God, the word of the Lord will reign and live in us. It'll be a representation. It'll just flow. But once again, what's so beautiful here, who's revealing this to John? It's the bride. Isn't that precious? Isn't that wonderful? Because why? Because the bride, hallelujah, is that one that has the infilling of the Holy Ghost, yielded, and has been led into all truth. Amen. Praise God. Think about this, brothers and sisters. Knowing revelation under Paul's gospel, enlightened eyes of understanding, and all by the grace of God, you could be here telling John this, could you not? Amen. So again, I know time's hard to get over, but get over time. And by the grace of God, see yourself. See yourself. Hallelujah. His glory, I see myself. I praise him, I don't know how many umpteen times a day. Lord, I'm getting ready to descend from heaven, having your glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, here we are tonight, and I'm believing this. Hallelujah. For myself, that, Lord, thank you, Jesus, to be of this company, hallelujah, in this type that knows this word, that I know by the grace of God, hallelujah, that this is what you have called me to, chosen me for. Lord, just encourage me by faith to take it. Amen? That it is real. So, we're thanking God for this. But this great harlot, by this time, has affected all the people. She's ensnared the world with her lies. Through the miracles of the false prophet, remember he was the one that had the same miracles as the Antichrist, but he even had more. And he directed all the worship to the Antichrist. And she orchestrates this system, this religious system, this complete sin upon the people. Let's go ahead and read verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now again, God in his faithfulness has shown us this through time. And man is like a what? Like a dog. And what does a dog return to? His own vomit. Man doesn't learn from anything. Man's man. That's all man can do, is the same thing. Put a different spin on it, but it's the same thing. Know this in historic fact, that the world's religions have done this. I can take Catholicism. My family, a large part of them are still in it. I understand somewhat of it, but I understand the history of it, involved with the nations, controlling nations at certain times, directing these things, and especially trying to influence kings, influence decisions, influence countries, wars, borders, all of these things. Oh, but in the name of God. Ha! Ha, ha, ha. Go look at the wealth. My goodness. I don't know if you saw, somebody had sent me a picture of just one of the homes of that El Chapo that was caught. He had $22 billion of cash. Cash. And I got it right. It wasn't million, billion in cash in that one house. They said he has 24 others. And that's just around Mexico, then others over here. How much money does that guy have in there? But let me tell you something. That's a pauper to the great religion of this world. The real estate, the holdings, all of these different things. Now, I don't know for certain and all of these different things, and I appreciate the art. Oh, my goodness. I walk through many of them places. And that's just one of the great religions. Then there's the other great religion of the world. That is increased mightily too. This is all going to come together. And it's going to be in a power of evilness and wickedness, again, that the world has never seen. But it's this fornication that goes back and forth here. It's been building over the ages. I want you to understand, this isn't just going to happen. God has shown this. But even in his word, this false system, this intoxication that has been influencing political system and empires and all this with their lies. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, just to make sure we understand. This has been going on for a long time. It's just going to come to full revelation and in this completeness, because the bride's gone, first of all. Amen? And then second of all, when we get to a certain point in the tribulation, then the devil is unleashed like a roaring lion in fullness. Then we're going to get the full revelation of it. That mystery is not going to be a mystery anymore. It's just going to be right in your face. And it's called the fullness, every abomination. Here it is. Here it is. And what does it say in 2 Thessalonians 2:7? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. There you are. Isn't that wonderful? There's that bride. See, the mystery's already working. It's already there, but it's not going to come through in its fullness until that word letteth is hinders, until he that hinders, and that he that hinders is the bride of Christ. Until that bride is taken up, this ain't flowing out. Praise God. Go back and look up all that through the Greek. I won't take time to do that, but in that seventh verse, and you'll see. That's, by the grace of God, that's where you've been called to. This is what Jesus is talking about you. Now, let's just read 3 through 5. We'll talk about it just a little bit, and we'll close it up tonight. And it says there, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and the 10 horns. So now, if you remember, that it spoke of the Antichrist as this beast. But now we've got this religious system that's riding the whole thing, that's directing this, even upon the Antichrist, that, again, this wickedness, this harlot. And the woman, she was arrayed in purple, in verse 4, scarlet color, decked with gold, precious stones, pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. My goodness, if we just stop there, you just think, oh my, this is a king, this is a lord, this is everything. But what did that cup have? Full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Amazing stuff here, brothers and sisters. So this wilderness speaks of the world. So when he takes John in the wilderness, this is the wilderness, and this is late in the tribulation time. And we have this picture again of this harlot, this woman sitting upon and directing the beast, the great harlot decked in purple, scarlet, gold, precious stones, pearls, a cup in her hand. Royalty is what she expresses herself. Splendor that the world has never seen, but it's a total lie. And as we see, and as we've just read, it's all the possessions of every abomination and filthiness. And all this one wants to do is to fornicate and infect everyone, every nation, every king, every religion with her disease. And her wine, see, she has a wine that she's giving, but it's the wine of the earth. It's the wine of a toxic, sickly vine. It's the wine of abomination. Yeah. And here we are so privileged, we drink of the cup of salvation. And complete salvation. And praise be to God, a better thing, salvation with eternal glory. That's so wonderful. Now, this allegiance with the Antichrist will go on for a short time until Christ turns, the Antichrist, I should say, turns on this great harlot, as we'll read later on in Revelation. And he kills her. He destroys her. They, again, the devil just killing and destroying. It's just like the, I always thought of the rats here. They are singing together and, you know, they're all getting along and everything. And then they look at each other, wait, you're a rat, you know. And they all start fighting. And that's exactly what this is. They're not going to get along. They're going to kill each other because that's the way God said it'd be. Now, this is overreaching power given to this religious entity, the mother of all harlots. And brothers and sisters, it shouldn't come as any surprise. Again, we've seen this in our world throughout the years, prevalent over and over and over. I'll say this, whether it's the imams of Islam, the Pope of Catholicism, they don't just preach religious things. They wade into politics. They direct people. They want nations. There's an insatiable appetite because when we're not after the things of God, we're after the things of man's belly. And that's what happens. And even in Christianity, you see that unfortunately happen is when ones turn from the Lord and step out of the truth, it'll just go to flesh. It'll go to flesh. And flesh often goes to, in many ways, the desires and wants of the belly. I think about Demas, as Paul said, you know, Demas loved the world. When he knew that truth. He preached that truth with Paul, but it says that he loved the world more. And so he went into the worldly things. But see, I think of our Lord Jesus Christ again, and I mentioned this a little earlier. He wasn't after, in a sense, yeah, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But I love how Jesus said, I pray for them that the Father has given me. I pray not for the world. I love that statement. It's so encouraging. You know, oftentimes you see about man's goodness and in the religious world. Oh, we're going to save the world. We're going to do this to the world. And everything's about the world and my goodness. Where are you living? Are you in the heavenlies? Amen. See, that's it. We're seated in the heavens of Christ. We're about heavenly things. Amen. You think about even Abraham. As much as he had, as much as he was given, he was seeking what? The continuing city whose builder and maker is God. See, that vision was always on the heavenly. The vision was always on the Spirit. Hallelujah. That was, and those that have that vision, those that are truly spiritual, think of the spiritual things. Praise God. Again, where is the affection of our heart? It's always a good check. It's always the word of God that does it. It always gets to the intent of the heart. Where your heart lies, that's where your treasure is. That's what the word of God tells us. And is it either set on the things above or is it on the rudiment things of this life? And there's subtle things that can come in there. But know this, brothers and sisters, an idol is an idol. And he said, cast out all idols, break them, get them out of there. Don't have anything in that worship in the house of God. Here's his temple. Amen. This is temple. He lives here. Hallelujah. And I don't want to be worshiping anything else. And I told you some of the last things I know that God was working on my life was my own children. Because they were starting to interfere with the purity of what he wanted. And by doing that as a parent, brothers and sisters, I'm not encouraging them in the fullness of the Lord. Because I'm not loving them perfectly. When I love them perfectly is when I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and might. And I don't have any idols. Amen. You got kind of quiet. So that's right. I was quiet when the Lord started dealing with me too. And I shut myself in a room and he was still there. So this system has set herself up. If you think here as the virgin, as the queen, as this virtuous woman, works upon works upon works. I don't have need of anything. I'm enriched. All of those things about all of those churches that fell away from God, that's part of this system. She's infected all of it. See, that's why they fell away from God, because of this working of this mystery. Remember this very, very sincerely. She's bringing herself up as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but judgment's going to be poured forth. The mystery, the hidden agenda, is religious falsehood. Remember this as well, too. Babylon means confusion. Who's the author of confusion? The devil. Amen. So we know that this is the devil's house. This is the devil's lot. This is everything, the mother of harlots. And if you think about calling her the mother of harlots, that means she has daughters. See, she's a mother, she's a daughter, she's got daughters. And those daughters, you know, you think about it, they're all of those ones that, again, have received that leaven, if you will. And what did the word of God say? A little leaven, leaven's the whole lump. Why does the Lord tell all of those churches, wake up, come out from that, overcome these things? Amen? Doesn't tell it to Smyrna and doesn't tell it to Philadelphia, because they're in that zone of that first love. But any of the others, there's something that got in there, a little bit of leaven. Because if they don't come out of that and they don't wake up into that, remember this, steps away from the truth lead to what? More steps away from the truth. again till it's eventually dead. Brothers and sisters, it even happens with bridal saints. And it does. And to whom much is given, much is required. You know, Polly and I were talking about on the way here to church, some of the most miserable people you'll ever meet are Christians. Really? Sinners can be more happy than Christians that step away from truth. They're the most miserable sort. Oh, yeah. But a yielded Christian can have some of the most horrific natural things going on in their lives. And yet, as they receive the Word of God in the encouragement of the power of the Holy Ghost, there's never been a greater joy known to the face of the earth. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. I've kept you. I'm going to just go ahead and close it. I don't want to exhaust you. I don't want to exhaust you. So, that's the way I was brought up in the Word of God. You know, I love it pretty much every time they come through a study or whatever. Somebody comes up and says, "Brother, you just went too fast. I couldn't get it off." Well, that's good. See, that's fire hydrant. That's fire hydrant teaching. That's called Paul's gospel. When it comes at you that way, it's Paul's gospel. But that's why we had a pastor that knew something. He'd say, "You know what? Okay, now, little cow, go over there and chew that cud underneath that tree and just keep chewing it." And he said, "Don't make them glad twice. Third time it's enough." Well, never mind. And I thank the Lord I'm going to see some very sweet people real soon. Praise God. Stand and be dismissed.